It's great to be back in Queens. There was a time when I was coming every Sunday until I got run out of here and had to go. Oh, no, that's not what happened. I got called someplace else. But our goal was to spend more time with the Queens region. But God had other things in store and other needs out there. And just want to thank you for your continued dedication and service and sacrifice. I want to specifically and especially thank Sean and Robin for their years of perseverance. You know, Queens has been through a lot. And we just haven't been able to get rid of Sean and Robin because they've been hanging in there every step of the way. And so we appreciate your perseverance. You guys know how to stick with it and not give up. And I'm so proud of this region because you have been the example and set the pace in our special missions contribution every year. We've been trying to catch you guys. And Queens just outshines everybody in the area of percentage of members that give. I mean, you're so far ahead of the rest of us. Sometimes we wonder if we're really disciples when we look at how much Queens gives and sacrifices, as all of you have given your hearts to that. So thank you for your example, for your model. And it's taken away excuses from other regions and motivated them to want to do more in the years to come. So thank you so much. As you heard, I'm sure there's a rumor floating out there that I'm retiring sometime next year. I'm not retiring from being a disciple, but I am retiring from the many phone calls and all the stresses that have come my way over the years. But there's a time for everything. And so God has made it clear that we need to go on to the next chapter, the next journey. And so the title of my sermon today is Finishing Strong. So let's pray and then I'll jump into the message. God and Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you never give up on us, that you're always there every step of the way, wanting to see us spend eternity with you and wanting to see us in this life mature and grow and help others come to know you. Bless our time together today, and may you be glorified. May your name be lifted up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Finishing strong. My prayer is that we all make it to the finish line. Now, if you've been around a while, you know that oftentimes the people you start your journey with, you don't finish with. Go back, if you're married, go back and look at your wedding pictures. Go back and look at that first Bible talk you're in, or that first ministry you're in, and you've seen so many people come and go. And I want to hold up those of you who've persevered over the decades because that alone gives glory to God and is a testimony of your faithfulness and of your perseverance in God. And so we want to never take that for granted. But it's not how you start the Christian life that matters as much as how you finish. And as I come to the end of my journey here as being an evangelist for the New York church, I want to finish strong. I don't want to just, limp out. I want to finish giving glory to God. I want to finish going up and up and up and not just descending and just watching and not caring. I want to give my whole heart every step of the way. Now, Jesus said this in, am I doing this right, guys? Oh, like this? Oh, that's right. There's an arrow. There's an arrow on here. You know, you could make that like red or something. There's an arrow on here, guy. Can you see that arrow? No, you cannot. I can't see it either. Well, there's an arrow. There's an arrow right there. And here's a quote. It says, many will start fast, few will finish strong. And we don't want that to be said for us. We want to be those who start strong and who finish strong in the Lord. We want to be the people who at the end of the day, we hear God say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want. But look at what Jesus says here. Jesus says, I guess these guys are going to have to help me out. Okay. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. I don't like that scripture. Is that true? That because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold? That's a sobering thought. That most people aren't going to make it. And even people who knew the Lord and one day said Jesus is Lord, who were baptized and made the good confession, they're not going to make it because their love for God is going to grow cold. Another translation says this. The Passion Bible. It says, there will be such an increase of sin, of lawlessness, that those whose hearts once burn with passion for God and others will grow cold. Like I said, I'm like, what? But hold your hope firmly to the end and you will experience life and deliverance. You remember when you first came to the Lord? Remember how on fire for the Lord you were? Remember how you tried to share your faith with everybody and you even made enemies because you were so persistent and sometimes inconsiderate because you're like, I've found God and everybody needs to have what I've found because this is the best thing yet. When's the last time you studied the Bible with somebody? When's the last time you sat down with a friend and shared your faith? Has your love grown cold? Has you lost that passion? You know, I know for me, during COVID, there was a 2-year period when I didn't study the Bible with anybody. And when after that ended, I decided to repent, and God opened the door for me to bring a friend that I met to Jesus this year, but it'd been a personal drought. And I had to repent because I wanted to once again understand the mission that God's given me. And that's to go and make disciples of all nations. I want to finish strong, leave some people here that I've influenced for God and help bring to Jesus. You see, a key to finishing strong, and I've been looking at several keys as I've visited different regions, but I think one of the keys to finishing strong is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Make sure that you are keeping your heart right with God. And a scripture that I've memorized and that I meditate on is Proverbs 4:23, where it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The Message version says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. The Amplified version says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. Above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. And then finally, the Living Bible. Above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. See, we've got to make sure we keep our hearts close to God. That we keep our hearts right with God. That we're always working on the inner man. That we're not just faking it, because you can come and look the part and say the right things, but what's going on the inside? Because that's what God looks at. And when we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about that thing that pumps blood. We're not talking about that physical organ. But Scripture referred to the seat and center of human life. The heart is the center of the personality, and it controls the intellect, emotions, and will. Your heart is who you really are. Your heart is the combination of your intelligence and your affections and your convictions and your beliefs and what you stand for. Your heart is the real you. And God goes on to say, as water reflects a face, the proverb writer says, so a man's heart reflects a man. So if you want to know who a person really is, look at their heart. And ultimately, their heart will come out. When God was looking for a king, this is what he told Samuel. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the outward appearance and fail to prioritize the things that matter most to God and that should matter most to us. And what is that, church? That's your heart. That's how you get to heaven, is to make sure that your heart is right. And the struggle sometimes for people who are physically gifted or gifted with beauty or outward talent is they begin to rely on themselves and forget how much they need God. Oftentimes the people who are the most talented, the most gifted, the most wealthy do not see their need for God. And this is where God says, don't look at the outward appearance. Because on the day of judgment, you're not going to have any outward appearance. It's only going to be your heart that's going to be, that God's going to be looking at and that we need to be concerned about today. Am I right, church? So we need to prioritize the heart, and we need to be looking for people who have what? Who have a heart for God. And it doesn't matter to God what they look like. It doesn't matter how tall they are, how short they are, how wide they are, or how thin they are. What God's most concerned about is what do you look like and who are you on the inside? That is the real you. And that's what we need to be focused on. And so above all else, you got to guard your heart. You got to make sure you're working to keep your heart right with God. That you're not faking this Christianity thing. That you're not just going through the motions, but in your private life, you're making sure you take time to get your heart and to keep your heart right with God. And let me tell you something, that is not easy to do. And we're going to talk about why in a minute, because here's the question I have for us today. I want us to answer this. How do you guard your heart? How do you keep your heart right with God? I'm telling you right now, it is not easy. I've been a Christian 47 years. And I've been married 42 years. And let me tell you, there are times when my heart has been tested all the way to the end. And the struggle all along the way has been, Sam, are you going to get your heart right and do what's right? Or are you going to give in to your feelings, your emotions? Are you just going to react, or are you going to obey? And I struggle with these things. And so my first point on this one is, know your heart. Do you know yourself? You know, self-knowledge is not common. Most people are out of touch with reality. And we think we're, we see things that just aren't true sometimes. I mean, we get on the scale and we go, that ain't me. There's no way. There's no way I weigh that. That scale is lying again. Never told the truth. No, if the number comes up, that's you. Own it. That's who you are. But sometimes we just don't want to own stuff. So what is your heart like? What are the temptations of your heart? What moves your heart? What's in your heart? Do you know yourself? Because that's something we have to work on all the time, is to make sure that I know me, what my struggles are, what my temptations are, what could lead me astray. And sometimes that's unique for me and for no one else. But I need to know who Sam Powell is so that I can deal with him. And a lot of times we're focused on, well, I know her, I know him. No, you better know you. You know, what did David say? He said in Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I double dog dare you to pray that. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Expose what's in me, Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't even want to pray that prayer. I don't even want to pray that prayer. Because here's the truth. The heart is what, church? The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately corrupt. Beyond cure. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Do you believe that your heart is deceitful? Do you believe that your heart is beyond cure? What would we see if we spent a day in your heart and mind? Would we even get out alive? I know what my heart's like. You know, Cynthia and I, we had a little bump the other day. And as it has been throughout the history of our marriage, I was right and she was wrong. I thought. But we had this little bump, and it was over something so silly. I mean, it was, if I told you what it was just ridiculous. But I was totally ticked off. And so was she. And I'm thinking the whole time, that woman. And I had to go off and pray, and then God told me, no, it's not that woman, it's that man. And I had to see my heart was resentful. My heart was angry. My heart was upset. My heart was proud and defensive. And then I had to go back and apologize. I had to go back and say, honey, forgive me. I wrote it in a text first because I didn't even want to say it. I wrote it in a text. And I sent it to her. Thank God for modern technology. And then I limped on in the bedroom with my head down. Honey, I'm sorry. See, because it wasn't about what she did or didn't do. I had to deal with my heart. And I didn't want to accept the fact that here I am. I'm supposed to be a preacher of the gospel. A spiritual man. And I'm just out of sorts because my heart is proud. That's who I am without Jesus. And even with Jesus, I struggle to keep my heart humble and righteous and responsive to what God tells me to do. And so I believe this scripture is true. It's true for me, and if I know that, I got a better chance of dealing with it and repenting than if I deny that that's me, because that's who I am. And so we're able to make that change, praise the Lord. You know, things are got a lot better, but you got to know your own heart. What does Jesus say here in Matthew chapter 12? Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are still evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, what, church? The mouth speaks. The good man brings the good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up with him. You want to know what's in somebody's heart? Just spend a little time with them. It'll come out. I mean, it'll come out. If they're upset with somebody, you don't even know who it is. It's coming out. It's like, why are you talking to me about that? Because it's in your heart. You haven't dealt with it. You haven't fixed it. And some people stuck back 10, 20 years in the past. You're still bringing that up. I mean, the person's dead now. You're still bringing it up. That was before we had the internet. You're still bringing that up. Stop it. I don't want to hear it anymore, because the problem is not that person. The problem is your heart. You need to get your heart right. Jeremiah says this. Jeremiah says the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful. A puzzle that no one can figure out. That's my heart. And once I understand that, you know what, Sam? You are acting half crazy. You need Jesus. You need to go and this is how you fix something, church. Remember this. Don't wait till you feel right to do what's right. Do what's right, then you begin to feel what's right. Did you get that? Because a lot of times we're waiting to feel. I mean, I'm waiting till I feel like loving her. Till I feel like forgiving. I feel like being humble. No, no, no. You got to act. And then the feelings come later. And don't wait on somebody else. See, that's what we do. So, you know, they sinned against me. I'm waiting on them. When they ready to repent, I'm ready. Where is that in the Bible? The Bible says if you hear that your brother or sister has something against you, what do? You go gossip with all your friends and tell them how bad they are and how unrighteous they are and how unspiritual they are and how the church leaders ain't doing nothing about it. No. It says you go and you deal with it. The Amplified Version says the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it, perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? If you want to finish strong as a Christian, you got to guard your heart. You got to know your heart. You got to deal with the inner person. And you got to stop faking out. And you got to stop blaming other people. And you got to take a real look at who you are and where you are. And said, I'm fed up. I'm going to deal with me. I'm going to deal with me. That's how you fix your marriage. Stop blaming your wife, husbands. That's where Adam started. Adam started this stuff, and we've been doing it ever since. It's the woman that you gave me, Lord. And we couldn't even separate you from that girl back in the day. We tried to tell you to slow down, and you would not listen. And then you brought them churn into the world along with it. And they just like you too. That's Southern for children. Wives, stop blaming your husband. Single, stop blaming the church. Stop blaming it. I mean, get on your knees, pray and fast and ask God to open doors for you that could not, maybe have never been opened. But don't blame anybody else. Because if the problem is outside you, then you can't fix it. You can't fix a problem that's outside of you. You can only fix the problems that are inside you. And if someone else is keeping you from being righteous, then they have control over your life. And I'm here to tell you they don't. It's up to me. It was up to me to cross the line and to do what's right. How many times have we been surprised, disappointed, and perplexed by what so-called Christians have done and think? People that discipled us, trained us, influenced us, who left God. And you sit and go, how does that happen? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. As we finish this first point, here's my question to you. Do you know your heart? Fill in the blank. Now, we have our good days, don't we? We have our good days when we're getting up, we're smiling. We had a great quiet time. You know, we kissed the wife, the kids, even the dog. It's all good. We quoting scripture. I mean, we praying with people. I mean, you know them good days when you feel like, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I'm floating on a spiritual cloud today. You know, shared my faith. You know, it's all good. But then there's them other days. When the storm comes out of nowhere. I mean, the disappointment hits you. Somebody attacks you. You're trying to do what's right. And they're raising their voice at you. And they're criticizing you. And you're like, oh, no. Oh, Lord, no. And you're going back to your non-Christian days. I ain't putting up with this. I ain't. Lord, you know I shouldn't have to go through this. Do you know your heart? You see, you got to fill in the blank. My heart is lustful, deceitful, unforgiving, embittered, mistrusting, proud, anxious, critical. A lot of times that's what's in our heart. But here's the good news. God knows it. He sees it all. And he still loves you. There is nobody on this planet who sees and knows everything there is about your heart, every thought, every intention, every motive. Because if they did, they would run as far away from you as they could. God sees it all, knows it all, and loves you just as much as he ever did, and you could never do anything to make him love you less. And that's why our security and our refuge and our strength and our foundation should be in God, because nobody loves us like God loves us. And just like that sister was in that song, singing that song, you know, God, the goodness of God. God is so good because God sees all our darkness and still believes in us. Sees all of our hang-ups and still loves us. Sees all of our shortcomings and still wants to work through us. We serve a good God. We serve an amazing God. And that's what should inspire us to live this Christian life. One last scripture on this point. What did Jesus say? Point that arrow, Sam. Okay, he went on. Mark 7. What comes out of a man, woman, is what makes them unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. I remember we used to preach scriptures like this. Used to make people a little uncomfortable. But Jesus says, your sin, is the devil didn't make you do it. You can blame him all you want. He didn't make you do a thing. It's not the environment. The environment didn't make you do it. Now, these things don't help. But where does sin come from, church? My heart. It's my heart. And therefore, there's a solution. Change my heart. Change what I am on the inside. And this is what I had to own. Sam, you know, I'd love to get up here and tell you that after 47 years of being a Christian, I got it. Man, my heart is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control every day. But I'm sorry to have to confess to you, after 47 years of being a Christian, I'm still a sinner, and I need Jesus more than I ever have, and I'm fighting every day to keep my heart right with God. Know your heart. That's how you finish strong. And then finally, fill your heart with good things. We'll hit this real quick. You know, Jesus talked about how when a man, remember that story in Matthew 12 where man's spirit comes, his house is cleansed, and then he says, but if you don't fill it up, he says then, there are going to be seven other spirits. Other spirits more wicked than the one before. And the person is worse off in the end than they were at the beginning. So when you get baptized, you become a Christian, you're feeling good, everything's cleansed, and you're set to live the Christian life. But now you got to begin to fill up that void with good things. You've got to now seek to grow and mature and to make sure that you're making progress in your spiritual life, because no matter how long you've been around, if you're not fighting to grow, you will get stuck. And you can be here and have been, quote, a disciple and be worse off than you were when you first got started. And the sad thing is, you know more and you could tell anybody else what they should do, but you're stuck. Because you got to fill your heart with good things. And let me hit this. Here's a point. If you don't get any other point I make today, I need you to get this one. You need to be in the Word every day. How often, church? Every day. I'm telling you what. If the prerequisite to getting to heaven was everybody who read and studied their Bible the last 7 days would make it, I wonder how many of us would. Is that too much to ask? Here the psalmist says, David, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I can't emphasize this enough. You need to be in God's word. You need to have God speaking to you. You need to be in the scriptures. Man does not live on bread alone, but on what, church? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man, if we're not in the Word, if we're not seeking to know God through His Word and letting the Word minister to our heart, then what are we doing? I need you to get this. You can't be here just for other people. You can't be here just because you want to be a part of a group. You got to make sure in your private, personal life, you're in God's Word every day. And I will never apologize for challenging us with that. And if you're too busy to open the Bible and take some time to meditate, then you're too busy. Because Satan never takes a day off. And when he came after Jesus, every time Jesus said what, church? It is. It is. It is. So do you know where it's written? When temptation comes. Man, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. The ordinances of the Lord are altogether sure. They're sweeter than honey, than honey from the comb. We need to be in God's word. We need to know this truth. And we need to know it for ourselves. You can't be saying, well, you know, I wish Sean would give deeper lessons. Well, that's going to help Sean more than it's going to help you. You need to get deeper yourself. Yeah, I'm all for expository preaching and commentaries or whatever. But what are you doing in your personal walk with God? Is he speaking to you every day? And then let me wrap this thing up. Sean said I could preach for an hour, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to guard my heart against that. Paul said in Colossians, insisting you've been raised with Christ, do what, church? Set your hearts what? On things above. Set your minds on things above. Here are the things above, church. Here are the things we need to set our heart on. There's another translation. I'll skip that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear to love, help me out, church. Clothe yourselves with what? And what else? And what else? And what else? And patience. And what's this next one? Help me out. Bear with each other and do what? Forgive. Whatever. I want everybody to say forgive what? Whatever. Turn to somebody and say forgive whatever. Tell them again. Forgive whatever grievances they may have for you against you. And then what does he go on to say? Help me out here, church. Forgive is what? As the Lord forgave you. Tell him again. Forgive as the Lord forgave. That's setting your heart and your mind where? On things above. Am I right, church? Fill your heart with those things. Not on bitterness, not on resentment, not on remembering what people did to you or didn't do to you or didn't do for you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul said this, and this is, and it's prayer, it's Bible study. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. We know this scripture, don't we? I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the next time you hit that wall, you open God's word. You get on your knees. You cast that anxiety on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who wants to hear it. Don't call me. Don't call your ministry leader. Don't call your family group leader. You call who? You call on Jesus. And you say, Lord, I'm giving this situation over to you. I'm giving this fool over to you. I'm giving this stupid person over to you. I'm giving this proud, arrogant, just defensive person over to you. And I'm giving all my angst and all my issues and all my struggles, I'm giving it over to you. I don't want it. You give it over to him. He's waiting for it. He's saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. Now, he said it. I didn't say that. He said it. And he'll give you what? He'll give you rest unto your soul. So you bring it all to him, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart, church. Get in God's word. Get on your knees. Yes, we do need each other, but not more than we need the Lord God Almighty. And so I just want to encourage you. I got the arrow pointed in the right way. Above all else. Above your job, above that busy schedule, above you taking care of all this other nonsense you need to take care of in your life, you make sure you find time to guard your heart through Bible study, through prayer, through being focused on the King of Kings, because none of that other stuff will get you to heaven. But if you guard your heart and you put him first and you keep him first, it's an endeavor that will pay eternal dividends. Above all else, guard your hearts. God bless. Amen. Finish strong.